Can we talk about my birthday?
We can talk about your birthday.
I just turned 33 years old.
33 years old. Happy birthday. By the way, this is Matt and Andrew Make a Podcast.
I'm Matt. I'm Andrew.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Your birthday. 33 years old.
Okay.
Are you really 33?
Yeah. That's not cool, dude.
What?
You said I'm only 33?
Yeah.
You don't think I look 27? I thought it was fucking serious. Okay, I got gray stubble and I don't have hair, but look, almost no wrinkles, except on my forehead. Don't look at my forehead. Yeah. I can't
see. If we just don't look at all the places where there is, then they're not.
Look at this. Dude, you look at my dick, there's some wrinkles. Here's the thing. I can't see if I don't wrinkle my forehead. I'm not even joking. Watch me relax my face. I can't do it. Hold on. Is my forehead relaxed?
Yeah.
Now look, I'm trying to, my eyes are almost completely closed. I have to do this to see. Like, my eyes just close. I have, like, the squintiest eyes ever for a white dude. It's so fucking weird.
You a little bit Asian?
My grandpa looks Asian, and he spent a lot of time in the Philippines, so I think he might have got so many rubs that it kind of got in our
just
genes.
Rubbed off?
Yeah, it rubbed off and in. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Anyway, my birthday. I have never been a birthday guy. I don't really celebrate birthdays that... I mean, like, my wife goes, hey, what do you want to do for your birthday? And I go, well, we're definitely eating a kudo. You know, that. Not like, let's do birthday shit. And I've been doing this, it's going to sound so gay, but I've been doing this thing where in the morning I brush my teeth left-handed and I tell myself I love you. I look in the mirror, I'm not joking. I saw it on a YouTube video, I was like, that cannot work. I don't hate myself anymore after like a couple months of doing that.
What?
You brush your teeth left-handed because it creates new neural pathways. Anytime you create a new habit, you're creating new neural pathways. You make eye contact with yourself in the mirror and say, I love you. And I enjoyed the shit out of my birthday because I didn't feel ashamed to want to celebrate myself. Like, I pick one day a year, I'm allowed to have that. I've never even felt that. I've never been like, I'm allowed to have a day to really just, it's about me. It was so fun. It's so weird, but that's a huge part of it. It doesn't sound logical at all, I know. That's like manifesting some shit. Be like, if you just believe it.
I did, like, for a long time, I did every day when I got... When I got done brushing my teeth, I would look myself in the mirror and go, today is going to be a good day.
That's a good one, too.
Like, I would do that every day.
Yeah, but the thing is, when you go out in the day and you just...
Brushing your teeth left-handed.
Okay, think about it like this. You know how neuropathways work, kind of, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You always open doors right-handed, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you just start opening them left-handed, you're less likely to get dementia. And I don't mean every day. I mean, do them left-handed for a month. Do them right-handed for a month. Do them every other... Start rotating. Start thinking about it. Don't use navigation. Write notes. Stop writing notes. Different shit to remember things and just change patterns.
Okay.
I've been kind of obsessed with not getting dementia for a while.
Yeah.
I just, mostly the president, really. I just don't want to be the president of the United States and you have to be demented as fuck to become the president, apparently. So, I didn't put it all together until very recently, but... Everything's been going really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my life, except for my income, everything's been on an uphill trajectory. Also, I talked to my cousin the other day, and we were talking about the big exodus that I created that I was very happy about. And he was like, so, I know we talked about money a lot. You were worried, like, cutting your income in half was going to be huge. And I was like, yeah, it was. And he goes, but you look so happy. And I was like, I am. I'm actually on a average day. Now, I will say when I tattoo all day, I'm tired. I get home. I'm still a fucking cranky bitch. But, like, for the most part, I'm happy. Which is a new feeling. It's weird. Like, comedy plus firing people plus actually just saying fuck it and doing whatever I want to do. And then you add this one little thing. I've never really enjoyed my birthday. I thought about what I want to do on my birthday for a couple days first. I was like, ooh, I want to get tattooed by Mila. She's been talking about how... I mentioned it one time. Because my two oldest ones tattooed me a long time ago. And then Mila couldn't write her name very well. So I was just kind of waiting until she could write her name good. And she goes... Do you ever want to get tattooed by me? And I was like, definitely. As soon as you can write your name really consistently, we'll make some time and we'll go do it. And she didn't mention tattoos at all, but wrote her name like 200 times a day, would draw little hearts around it, started drawing all kinds, showing off like a motherfucker, like, look at this, look at this. I was getting 5 drawings a day that she wanted to give me, and she's drawing stacks, just over and over drawing everything. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to, for my birthday, I want her to tattoo me. I want her to have a good day for my day.
Yeah.
Because that's what I actually enjoy.
Yeah.
But it's still about me. It wasn't me doing it for her. It's like, I want to remember this. I want this to be my birthday. it worked out that a little bit of selfishness made everybody have a good day.
For sure.
It's such a strange feeling for me to enjoy something and not have it be about everybody else. That's coming from a guy that likes to get on stage and hold a microphone and be like, shut the fuck up, I'm talking. But with everything else, I'm kind of the other way.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for this much extra selfishness, and it comes from like actually giving a shit about yourself. And brushing your teeth left-handed might have nothing to do with it, but at least making eye contact with yourself and saying I love you is creepy the first 50 times you do it. For sure you're like, it's weird. But dude, it was awesome. I had the best birthday of my life. Brandy said, what do you want as far as dessert goes? And I was like, I kind of like those lava cakes that are like, I just want something super chocolatey. And she goes, okay, I've never done that, so I'll make a backup plan. I know you like cheesecake. Made a cheesecake and a lava cake. The lava cake was a little off, but the flavor was there. It was just a little... But ate whatever I want, did whatever I want. We had fun. I don't think we spent much money. I got that microphone as a gift. That was great. Like, it's just weird. It took 32 birthdays to figure out how to do it. Like, it's crazy. But I always thought people were weird when they celebrate their birthday over, like, 12. Like, I just was like, why are you...
Right.
Like, you're having friends come over so y'all can drink beer and watch a football game because you're turning 42? That's stupid. And now I'm like... Why don't we just celebrate, like, the 19th of every month? Like, I threw the idea out there. I was like, what if we actually do, like... The problem is we have the 23rd and the 24th. It's one problem with it. But I was like, why don't we just, like, have, like, a mini birthday every month for each of us? And everybody in the house was like, that's crazy. I was like, I mean, Asher, would you want to have a birthday on the 3rd every month? He goes, yeah, that'd be cool. I was like, what about you, Brylin? She was like, yeah, that'd be cool. I was like, why can't we do it for everybody? They're like, I don't know, that just seems weird. I was like, okay, well... Don't be surprised if I come home with a $12 toy from Dollar General on the 3rd, boy. But it was just, it was crazy. Like, I've never wanted to have a birthday. I've always, never dreaded my birthday, never thought it was bad. Just kind of like, it was like.
Just another day of the week.
Another day of the week, but I get to pick the restaurant. Like, it was never, like, I wasn't like, oh, I fucking hate my birthday. I've never had a problem with aging or anything. But it's weird when you just have fun for an entire day. And then the day off after, I was just having fun.
Yeah.
Like, 2 days in a row, didn't do anything productive. Just had fun. Got a tattoo. That shit hurt, by the way. Don't let a 7-year-old tattoo you. And for legal reasons, we drove to Texas. I don't know how the law works on that, but I know you're not supposed to have a 7-year-old tattoo you in a licensed studio, so that's why we had to do it at my friend's place in Texas.
Right.
Because he doesn't have a license at his studio.
Makes sense.
Shout out to Fuck Sticks, Inc. It's spelled with 2 X's. Downtown Olney, Oklahoma. That's your ankle?
Yeah.
All right. We already talked about Broken Bow. Trying joke shows, not that interesting for a podcast. Car wash, I just wanted to tell you how frustrating it is when my car's dirty for more than a week. That's all.
Okay. I know that we're trying to do stuff not...
It as, can be comedy. Not I was as just saying, comedy. We have a whole podcast where it's just comedy.
Right.
Because that's all we think
about. You've come up with this idea of the Trying New Jokes show.
It's a good show.
You and I have done it.
It's a great show.
And then now you've got it set up for yourself and other comics, you know, a once-a-month deal. I do think that that's worth talking about. It's a great idea. It's a lot of fun. Props to you. If people watch the last episode, they know that we discussed you created this place that you can... kind of do outside of the norm,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of the shows that you created to do here, and it's awesome. Great job. All right, next
thank
one.
You. Yeah. So, well, since we are kind of talking about it,
okay.
Also, if you want to do the math on it, drive to Oklahoma City, do 9 minutes of comedy, come back. I have 3 hours and 9 minutes minimum invested. I'm waiting for an hour, so really I have about 5 hours probably, maybe six. And I'm getting 9 minutes of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Once a month, I can do, what's 9 times 4?
36.
That's about how much joke time I get on stage. We do around an hour is the goal, maybe an hour and a half. So during that show, I can get a month's worth of that mic time, and I can still go to Oklahoma City and get an extra 4, but I don't feel like I'm obligated to do it every single week, and it frees up a little bit of time for stuff like waiting 16 hours for this to upload on my slow-ass internet. So there's that, like, when you're saying it's a great idea, I think it's a great idea as a show, for sure. I really like it as a show. Like, mm-hmm. I think the audience likes it. But after we did it once, I was like, just the math just says this is what I need to do to get better at comedy.
Right.
Also, I didn't know anybody wanted to see. This sounds so dumb. I literally didn't think anybody was interested in watching me perform stand-up comedy at all until you said that somebody wanted to see me do more than 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, there's probably four of them if there's two of them. So that's it. Okay. Yeah. So I had other stuff. Homeless harassment. These are things I can tell you about, but I'll just get your opinion on this. Have you ever cash apped a homeless person $5?
No.
Why would you not? I mean, the word in there, harassment, helps.
Because it sounds insane to me.
That you have a smartphone?
For a homeless person to have, which, and I know that there are these programs where they can get free phones. I know all that, but still, it's insane. If I see a guy on a street corner begging for money, people fall on hard times. I understand that. I wish the best for everybody. But if you're standing on a street corner holding a cardboard sign that you've drawn on and you're smoking Marlboro Reds, the most expensive cigarette there is.
Newports are expensive.
Okay. You're smoking a expensive-ass name brand cigarette. You've got a smartphone. Like, you're checking your Facebook while you're holding a sign.
You're doing homeless TikToks.
Yeah. And you've got fucking nicer shoes on than me, go fuck yourself. All right, that's my opinion.
That wasn't my reasoning, but I've never thought about it. I was just like, I just don't want to fucking, like, I don't know, why would I cash app you money? My thing is, if I see a homeless person, they ask in a polite manner, and I really do have it on me, usually I'll slip them a five. Usually. My theory is, they're probably going to buy crack with it, and that sounds fun.
You're the exact opposite. Everybody else is like, I don't want to get money because I'm afraid they're going to buy drugs with it. And like, at least they're having a good time.
They're going to have fun. So there's that. I think two of me, you could buy a rock. I don't know. I think 10 bucks will get you a hit. So there's that. But this guy outside, it was at the Red Dirt mic. I was leaving Red Dirt. This guy goes, hey, man, you got an extra 10 bucks on you? And I was like, I actually don't. I mean, I might have a dollar. I don't think I have any cash on me. I'm sorry. And he goes, oh, man, that's rough. Because I'm just wanting some food. I was like, I don't care what you do with it. I would give you five if I had it. He goes, you got PayPal or anything? And I was like, actually, I do have Cash App. Do you have Cash App? He goes, yeah, but I don't have the card. I was like, you can figure that shit out later. I'll go ahead and give you, I think it's 10, five or 10. I was like, go ahead, what's your Cash App? And he goes, can I type it in for you? I was like, no, I'll type it in. I didn't want to hand him my phone. I typed it in, sent him money. That was like 3 or 4 months ago at least. I get requests. I didn't even know who Giovanni was. I recognized his cash tag because it was like, let me find it. But I recognized his cash tag, but not his actual name. He keeps sending me requests. Like for 5, 10, whatever for food, like over and over. And I decline all of them. It says five for food, whatever. But I saw the name. I was like, who's Giovanni? I didn't tattoo. It's 580 Shady Baby. So if anybody wants to send Giovanni some cash, 580 Shady Baby. Why is that a man's cash tag, first off? Like, that just sounds weird. Second, I did not think this through when I gave him money. I didn't think, oh, now he'll know my cash tag so he can just send me requests. I could also block it. It's fine. But I think it's funny, and he just keeps going and going and going.
Now, based on the information you gave earlier in this conversation, he keeps asking for $5 and specifies that it's for food, mm-hmm. and you keep denying it. Now, if he was to say, send you a request for 20, but put that it was for crack...
Because it's funny, I might do that. What was it? Shady Baby? 580 Shady Baby. Hold on. 580 Shady Baby. Okay. Giovanni Gardner. I sent him $1.75. Hold on.
You said $1.75?
He's been asking for five. I'm playing a game, okay? I sent him $1.75, and I said, because I have it now. Because I didn't tell him I don't have the money, but one time he hit me so many times in one day, like 5 or 6 times in a day, and I just messaged him back with a dollar and said, I don't even have $20 on Cash App right now. He left me alone for like 3 days, and then he sent me a bigger request, like 10 or 15. And I was like, I feel like I have a weird relationship with this guy only on transactions. So now
I feel like one of these days we need to go look for him.
Oh, I can find him.
Like, you know where he hangs out.
Yeah. Or I could just, I can use Cash App to talk to him. And then he, like, I'd have to give him a dollar each time.
Did he? Okay. Describe this guy.
Like, black.
Like, homeless?
Yeah. Like, definitely looked homeless.
I see people begging for money at the entrance of Walmart all the time. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, those motherfuckers, they're going home tonight.
Yeah. They drove a fucking Camry there. This guy, I would say, definitely looks like an African-American fella, around 5'10 to 5'11. I would imagine a bigger penis than mine because he's African-American.
On drugs?
Doesn't look like he does excessive drugs. Looks like he knows where to get them, though. Looks like he's done a little too.
What could we hire this guy to do for us?
He's not going to do it. Name a thing you think he would do. Like, I know this sounds really fucked up, but if you're not mentally ill and you're not physically disabled in any way and you're actually homeless and sending people requests for $5 and you have a smartphone, the odds of you having a good work ethic, I don't think are great. Just putting it out there. Like, I think if he wanted to work, he would have a job.
So you don't think, right, I don't think, like, yeah, you're not going to be able to talk this guy into going, hey, man, I'll pay you $10 an hour. You just come over and do yard work for me.
No.
He's turning that down.
You might get him to, like, hold a sign in front of a Boost Mobile or something.
Do you think we could go, hey, man, we're going to give you a crash course on how to run one of these cameras. We're going to a comedy show. We just want you to follow us around and record shit.
Actually, let me send him another dollar. Hold on. 580.
Shady Baby.
580 Shady Baby coming at you. Why is it not the first thing that pops up when I type 580?
You got a lot of 580s in your Cash App arsenal?
Yeah, actually I do. Okay, I'm messaging right now. $1. And then saying, do you want some side work as a cameraman? The thing is, you got to get him in that Planet Fitness to take a shower, because I'm not letting him shower at my house, but he's got to shower before he gets in any of our vehicles. There's that. But this is actually a good idea. And if he's smart, he'll message me back, which he'll have to send me a dollar to message me back. But then he'll be like, I would love to, but I don't have much cash. Can you send me $3 so I can send you a dollar back and give you another message? And then it'll, you know, the thing where it's like, if your money doubles every day for a year, you're a billionaire or whatever.
Yeah.
There you go. Have you seen those videos of really dumb bitches on the internet? I never see the girl themselves. I always see a guy reacting to it. But I've seen two now. And they'll be like, did you know if you save a dollar every day for a year, after 3 years, you'll have $10 million. And then a guy goes, 365 times 3 plus 10%. Let's be really generous with interest. That's not $3 million, you dumb bitch. And I'm like, dude, I don't know why I love that. But, like, there's so many people that are so dumb that make... There's also way more people that aren't that dumb.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That make these videos that are like, there's no way they actually think this. And they fucking edit it, make sure it looks good, and then publish it.
Dude, here's what bothers me now is people making these fake inspirational videos or fake... here's one I watched the other day. Now, I'm currently dealing with somebody who's probably early stages of dementia. So then I saw this video and it was talking about this guy. He's on an airplane and he has Alzheimer's. And he starts freaking out because, like, his switch got flipped.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know why he is where he is and why these people are looking at him. And, it, like, in the title, it was like his wife started singing their wedding song to him. That's how she got him to calm down. I was like, dude, I got to watch this. Like, every once in a while, I want to watch one of these videos that gets me in my feels for a second. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm watching it. And then the more I watch it, all of a sudden I'm like, this shit's fake.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fake shit.
Like, why? Why this? Like, why would you make that fake video?
I don't know. The only videos I've seen that are like, okay, you know the inspirational stuff where it's just like a dude out in the woods wearing fucking 20 beaded necklaces going, today is your day. And I'm like, nah, fuck you. This is bullshit. I can tell I don't want to listen to you. Yeah. Like immediately, I go, this is fucking phony.
And it's really, like he's just got like a row of four trees in his backyard.
Yeah,
he's not actually in the woods.
He's drinking Starbucks, but it's off camera. Yeah. it's shit like that drives me fucking nuts. But I can usually spot the super bullshit really fast. The ones like that where there's a lot of things going on, I can't as fast. I'll watch half the video and be like, fuck.
Yeah.
But there's a guy, if you watch his videos for the first, I don't know, maybe he's probably been doing it 8 months. So I'd say the first 6 months, his videos are great. And then you can see where he turns a page. He goes, okay, this is as much as I'm going to make off this. Let's shift over to slightly, maybe not scammy, but things where he's going to teach you how to make money the way he did. He seems legit. Like, he might be able to actually teach you if you're willing to put the work in, to the point that I messaged him about it and I've talked to him a little back and forth. And, like, I don't think he's thinking, let me fuck these people over. I think he's just overly confident and thinks, I did it so I can show you how to do it. I think there's an element of luck he cannot guarantee.
Right.
But he does these videos where he literally just puts his opinion on there. And one thing that he said in one video is like, anytime you actually are 100% honest and authentic, people are going to be receptive of it, even if they disagree with it. Like, if it's really what you think, and I think the same is true for comedy. I think if it's really you, even if it's the goofiest shit, I peed in a squirrel, tied it in, and threw it across the street, people are like, well, I mean, clearly this guy's fucking insane, but it was funny.
Yeah.
He's completely right, I think, but there's some shit, I mean, he wears a mask. There's some shit I wouldn't want to put on YouTube, that is my opinion. There's some shit I don't even want to talk about with people I know won't judge me, that is my opinion and I don't want everything out there.
Right.
Like, there's some topics I just think are just, to me, it's like, my opinion on it is not going to sway your opinion, so my opinion on it doesn't really need to come out. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you ask me, I'll tell you pretty much anything. But there's, like, he said something in the same video about, the like, people don't want to watch your video if you go, okay, I'm pro-gun, so you automatically know the rest. But the reality is, every comedian I know is not, no comedian I know that's, like, good, at least, fits into that, he's a Republican, he's a Democrat, he's left, he's right, he's this, he's that. It's all like, you can hear Andrew Santino say a bunch of shit, and then it depends on the guest, he'll immediately kind of conform to their thing to make them comfortable.
Right.
It's not him being fake, it's just part of him. You can see Joe Rogan's very left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Segura, very left and right. Like, there's a bunch of them that most people lean one way, but what he was saying is, if I know your opinion on abortion, I will know your opinion on guns. And if I know your opinion on guns, I will know your opinion on vaccines. And if I know your opinion on vaccines, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that's true to the general populace. I don't think that's true for comedians, and I don't know why. Like, name a decent comedian, a person you've met, not somebody that's like a celebrity, that you think is full-on Republican or full-on Democrat. Or you can name somebody famous, like Tim Dillon. I can't figure that kid out. I also just called him a kid. He's like 48.
Yeah.
He's fat, too.
He is.
And he's gay. And every time when the people said I was having relations with him, that's not true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can understand where they got that.
Yeah, I am his type. I'm adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know. I think you're right, but I think it's... general people or, you know, regular people who...
Normies.
Yeah, these damn normies, if they are 100% Democrat or 100% Republican, that's because that's the only way they even attempt to view things.
Right.
They only view it through this scope, whereas comedians are trying to... Like, we're trying to look at every little thing from every angle because we're looking for the funny. Well, in doing that, you're also just seeing the other angles. You're right. Seeing the other side.
So we're zoomed out, basically.
Yeah.
We're zoomed out and then zooming in on details. They're zoomed in on a channel.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense.
Whatever their grandpa told them to believe.
Well, I just automatically, when he said guns and when he said abortion, I was like, I bet he couldn't guess either of those based on one other thing with me.
Yeah.
Like, I bet that would be really hard for most people. I bet most people... If they hit three hot topics like that with me, they will get one wrong. And I don't think I'm a confused person or a complicated person. I just think I look at issues and I go, this is how I feel.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I think we should have stricter or less strict laws on any of those things. Because I'm not a fucking lawmaker. I would say what I think would make sense. I'll throw it out there. And like, I think it's too late to make guns go away. I think that's the same as like trying to get rid of all bacteria or all viruses or all germs. You know what happens when you get rid of most of them, your body can't handle some of them.
Right.
You have bad guys with guns, you need good guys with guns. It's the same argument everybody's had for 20 years, but you're not getting rid of guns in America. Other countries, it's not as hard.
Yeah,
here, they're not going away.
Yeah, other countries have done it.
So, like, the logic behind it has nothing to do with the fact that I enjoy shooting them and that I enjoy owning them. It's just, I just can't see a way you could fix it. If somebody said, I can make sure nobody gets shot in America ever again, I'd be like, even if there's other forms of violence, that is going to be a huge improvement. So let's do it. Like, yeah. If that means I lose some guns, let's do it. But not until you prove that that's even kind of feasible.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. I just, hearing this guy talk was really interesting because I never thought of it like that. I never went like, if I know your opinion on whatever, because everybody I know, I mean, tattoo artists are kind of similar too, but they're all conspiracy theorists. Not yeah. all, but like most of them.
So I have this deal that I used to do with people all the time, and it was a really good way to get to know people. And it was, I could ask somebody two questions, and they're, for a lot of people, they're not easy to answer. Mm-hmm. But off of those two questions, I can pretty much tell you everything I need to know about you.
You already know everything you need to know about me, and I think we've done this, but give me the two questions.
Your favorite movie.
Goodfellas.
Your favorite song.
Want You Bad by The Offspring.
Now, sometimes when I do this with people, like I have to go and look it up because I'm like, right. I don't fucking even know what that song is.
Yeah, Want You Bad's not one of their biggest hits, but it's their best song.
Right.
But like Goodfellas, you know.
Yeah.
So you could just go with the movie. I remember when I told you that the first time, you said something about you. I think you said, not necessarily you have to be in charge all the time, but you don't like taking orders. Something like that. It was yeah. like, you could not have put that more. Like, we said at dinner today, like, I might have some control issues. I've literally never had anybody else tell me that, but I've always been like, yeah, obviously. Like,
yeah.
I don't like to let things be up to people that I don't trust. But if you're good at it, I'll trust you.
Those two, but it's kind of like what this guy's saying. Hey, if I know how you think about this, then chances are I also know how you think about this, which right. is definitely not always going to be the case.
Right.
But if I know what your favorite movie and your favorite song are, I'll have an idea of what your personality is. Because your movies and music that we're drawn to are just reflections of what we like.
Right. Which I like mob shit a lot.
Right. But you, which, and mob shit is about this. Mob shit's about power.
Yeah.
Mob shit's about making money.
Yeah.
Mob shit's about not following somebody else's rules.
Right.
That's Andrew Patterson's personality. Yeah.
No, that's real. Like that's, and the thing is, I'm not like, I've always had a drive to make money, but I've never been like, a lot of people do think I'm obsessed with money, but then like, okay, you know exactly how I live. I like what I can do with, I go, I need this much money to go do this fun thing.
Right.
And I think of money as a tool. I'm yeah. not like, let me see how much I can get. I do like a cushion. I like to have enough that I'm not worried.
Right.
But I realized a few years ago, and I'm not going to say the number on here, but every time my safe has a certain amount or my savings account has a certain amount in it, I automatically go, I guess we got to fucking go do something with it. Like, I can't have too much money.
Right.
Which most people that are obsessed with money, it goes the other way. They go, I have to have all of it, so I don't want to spend it. My thing is, I go, without money, I can't take my kids to Costa Rica and fucking discover a new flower.
Right.
You know, there's weird shit.
Those other people who want to have all the money are the people that are just the opposite of you. Whereas, like earlier we talked about, there's a waitress that told you, hey, if we wait 4 more minutes, I can get you this meal right. half price. And you're like, I'm really not worried about that. Somebody who's a billionaire, they're waiting that 4 yeah. minutes.
And that's why I know I'll never be a billionaire.
They could buy the restaurant.
Right.
With one card in their wallet.
Were you here for the Miss Pat conversation with John? John Carden was telling me Miss Pat does...
Oh, yeah.
For the people. Price matches at Walmart, even though they don't have that policy. And every time, they have to say yes because it's Miss Pat. You know you're not saying no to that bitch.
Right.
Like, I was like, that is
And this is a woman
crazy.
Who... just designed and built her own 16,000 square foot house
I'm like, that's about 10,000 square foot bigger than two houses.
The dog her dog house is a regular size house that people can walk around in. It's climate controlled and has a TV in it.
Oh, God.
But that's is a lady that's like, I can get this exact same dish soap over at, Homeland for 29 cents less.
She's a hybrid. What she's doing, she's not the billionaire type and she's not me. She's going, since I have all this money, I better do something we'll all enjoy with it.
Yeah.
And she's going, if I save all this money on the shampoo that's usually $2.99, but I can get for $2.49, if I do that enough, we can do more of this shit.
Yeah.
But she's going to spend, she's not going to die with $58 million in the bank. She's going to die with everything paid off, stuff set aside for her kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, whoever. And she's not going to have a ton of extra cash, I don't
think. Of the people that I've started paying attention to here lately, she's probably one of the most interesting people. Like, I'm so drawn to her.
I love Miss Pat.
Yeah.
Which
Miss Pat is, she's the people I grew up around.
Right. She's the people I wanted to be around.
I grew up with bitches that'll shoot somebody.
Right.
You know, I grew up with a lady who, if you acted up in her yard, she'd whoop your ass and then send you home to your mom. Where your mom would whoop your ass because she had to whoop your ass. Because
by the time you got home, she already got the phone call.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, like she was the people I grew up with. So then to see some, but most of the people I grew up with died in the same neighborhood that I grew up in.
Right.
Whereas Miss Pat's one of those people, like, she grew up in that and then went somewhere.
Yeah.
Which makes her even more fascinating to me.
Like, that's the thing, like, in rap, they always say shit about, like, coming out the mud or what, you know, like some term, like I grew up in the shitty stuff and then I made out.
Rags to riches bullshit.
The thing is, with Miss Pat, it seems very real.
Mm-hmm.
Where like, I think there's so many things that are just luck in music and comedy and a lot of things you can't control. I think Miss Pat did all the right things she can control and didn't have as much luck as most people for a very long time and persisted and then had all the luck.
Yeah.
Like I think, and it sounds really like hippie-ish or whatever, but I think the universe rewards you when you persist past the point everybody else would give up. I think at some point, whatever fucking gives it to you, gives it all to you.
Yeah.
Like she's deserving of it. She's earned all that shit.
Right.
For most people, it, like...
Which that goes to conversations I've had with people a bunch, too, and stuff that I've watched other people when they're talking about it, is no matter what you're doing, if you're chasing a dream, and, it's gonna get hard.
Right.
It's gonna get hard, and... 9 times out of 10, people will quit.
Yeah, we talked about Seth Rogen's thing, right?
That break that they were looking for is the next day.
Yeah.
But they always quit one day short.
Somebody that started a day after you gets it.
Right.
And that's Seth Rogen. There's a great video floating around on Instagram. It's from like some podcast. And the way he says it's very Seth Rogen-y.
Yeah.
But he's basically just saying the only thing people that haven't made it in anything have in common is they quit. He's like, he used an example of a guy that's on like Lord of the Rings or something that was like 65 when he hit it big. And he'd been an actor his whole life. The thing is, those guys commit their whole life to it. I'm not at all like, I'm all in, fuck it, we're going to eat ramen. I love comedy so much. I genuinely don't think it will bother me if I've been doing it for 20 years and I'm just a little further ahead than I am now. I can't say that until 20 years.
Right. Because
I might look back and go, dude, I've done a lot, nothing's happening. That might be an attitude I develop. But the reality is, after the John Carden show, it sounds so cheesy, but I went home and I was talking to Brandy. I was like, I think, it's going to sound dumb, I think this is making it, and people have it wrong when they're trying to make a ton of money. I think you make money or you don't, but today, everything I wanted to happen for the entire city of Lawton, everything I've wanted to happen for a long time happened. We had the best show. Everybody had fun. Everybody did good. Funnily enough, like, you did better than... I think I did okay. I think you did fucking phenomenal. And I think John did really, really good. But I think you did better than John. And John's one of my favorite comics.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so weird to see everybody did good. Everybody had fun. Nothing bad happened. And I was like, people are pursuing the money side of it. But I've already, like, to me, this... I'm not joking. I'm not trying to exaggerate. This is the biggest thing that's happened to me. Like... this is insane. And she's like, yeah, that's because that's what you're into. Like, some people don't want that. I was like, yeah, that's true too. But this is my fucking $1 million lottery ticket. Like, I made it happen. Now I'm like, how many of those can I do? Like, can I do like one a year?
Yeah.
Because I don't, And I also wasn't immediately thinking, normally I'm immediately, what's the next thing? It took me several hours to even consider what's the next thing, and several days to start really, like, I need it again.
Yeah.
Where usually when I get something I want, I go, now how do I get it again more, more, more? Like, I'm too ambitious sometimes. In this case, I think I was like, no, that was good. Like, I've learned to sit in it and enjoy my hard work and everybody else's hard work around me all working together. Like, I put a lot of work in on it, you put a lot of work in and on it, and to be honest, John just showed up and told jokes, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's what he was, supposed to do.
No, but I mean, yeah, even though and that was the other thing, I text John about it a few days before, and he said, hey, I really appreciate it. I sent him a list of, like, restaurants and stuff I had my daughter type, and he said, this is really awesome, man. I really appreciate you. This is cool. And I was like, first off, I told him in person, I was like, my daughter wrote that. He goes, well, tell her she's a sweetheart, and I appreciate it. But in the message, I said, I really appreciate you coming to do a small show. I know you don't have to. And he said, there's no small shows. And I was like, that's locked in my head now. There's no small shows. There's three people in the crowd. And I know we've kind of talked about this, but there's three people in the crowd. We're giving them the fucking Madison Square Garden show.
Mm-hmm.
And since hearing him say that, I think all my sets have been a lot better. Like, I think my attitude has been 20 times better towards comedy. And I think I was already doing okay with, like, going out there and going, I know they need it. Like, I need to be funny. They deserve a show. I've been able to get in my head and, like, tell myself, just because there's only five people here doesn't mean you half-ass it. It's never been a half-ass thing. I'm just always in my head about how I didn't get enough people in the show.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be an issue anymore. I think that's like a block.
It took me a long time to get over that.
Well, you hadn't met John Carden a long time ago. He's like a little guru.
Well, I had a musician from here locally is the one that got me over. Was Bobby Dale.
Oh, Bobby, we've talked about that. Yeah. Bobby Dale's the shit, by the way.
Bobby Dale,
he's so good.
He used to own a bar here in town. I did a show at his place. I did two shows at his place. First one was sold out. Mm. It was packed. Second one, there were 20 people there, which 20 people still wasn't bad, except for the size of place it was and compared to what I'd done last time. And I just did a shit. It was a shit job. I didn't do a good job. I had a bad attitude while I was on stage.
Right.
Afterwards, those 20 people leave. I'm just sitting at the bar. I'm visiting with him. And he goes, you know how many times I got paid by a bar to come and play and nobody showed up? But I was still paid to do it. So I played to empty chairs. He goes, if there's one person in the audience that bought a ticket, they deserve the show that they paid for.
Right. And so, again, like, we've said it, but more than if there's a bunch of people. That person deserves it the same amount. You divide let's say it seats 100.
Yeah.
They get 100 people worth of energy directed at them.
Right.
Like, you give them 100%. Yeah. But what was the name of Bobby Dale's, bar, and where was it? I didn't
know. Rockin' Ranch.
Where was it?
Do you remember where Red Jelly was?
Yeah.
It was in that same building.
Okay, cool. Because, there was a guy that painted some stuff at the Red Jelly, and like I saw him doing a painting outside. That's the only reason I know. Every time I drive by that
Dallas
building,
Morgandale? He's one of the guys that was doing murals and shit around town for a while.
Probably.
Yeah, his name's Dallas something. But
I think he had a cool name, so I'm going to say Dallas.
But he's one of those guys, when he did the murals, he just had a projector and projected a picture on the side, and he just...
That's how I tattoo. I just put a fucking sticker on you and...
I know, but when you drive down the road and you see a mural, you're like, man, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And then you see somebody do it, you're like...
Yeah, it's not that hard.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of feel like if I would have known that trick, I might be able... I'm still not taking anything away from the guy.
So a graphic mural is really simple, but still requires a lot of work. And you have to, if you do it in color, you just have to understand, like, it sounds so dumb. Just, is this darker or lighter than that?
Right.
Because some people look at a color, like, they'll look at a brown or a tan and be like, oh, this one's darker, and you have to understand value. Because sometimes it'll look to your eye like one is darker when it's actually lighter. And then when you step back like a quarter mile and you're looking at it, you're like, why is his cheek sunken in at the top? And it's because you didn't understand value. Other than that, you don't really have to understand anything. You're just tracing lines. It's really not that hard.
Yeah.
But we're probably around 30 minutes. 39. I'm going to call it an episode.
That'll do it.
Hey, they deserve 100%, you fucks.
Yeah. Comment.